Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia. This is episode 153, and it is the week of April 7th. Happy Easter to everybody out there listening to the podcast. You probably get this after Easter. Anyway, it's been a while. Had a little hiatus after my 100K finish back on March 10th. And I have not done anything, no running whatsoever, until today. I ran the Henrico 5K this morning and finished in 26:18, which was good enough for a ninth in my age group out of I'm not sure how many, but I made top 10. And I really had a good time, and I had a pretty good finishing time. Probably went out a little too fast. You know, that's typical in a 5K for me. But that's actually, the Henrico 5K is actually my personal best course. And I like to, when I go out there, I've run that race several times. When I go out there, I do like to try to do the best I can. Anyway, my personal best was several years ago. Now that I'm 42, I think that running 5K in 26 minutes is pretty decent. This podcast is going to be mostly about the listener emails, the email bag, because I've got lots of subject matter within the email bag, so the majority of the podcast will be that, and I'll be getting to that shortly, because I've been communicating with some really cool people about some really neat things, and I'm really looking forward to hearing back from some folks who are out there doing some big races. And I'm looking forward to hearing back from them. But anyway, I got a lot of content for the show for this week in the email bag. So we'll be getting to that here in just a minute. But the first thing I want to say is that if you want actually more material, if you listen to parts one and two of my 100K, Graveyard 100K race report, and you just need a little bit more, if two episodes wasn't enough, you can go over to dirtdog.podbean.com. And check out episode 113, which is his interview of me on his podcast in reference to my effort at the Graveyard 100. And there are some additional insights in there. Mike asked some good questions, and I tended to think about some things that I probably didn't put in my podcast, which is good. And I obviously talked a lot, so I encourage you to go over there and check that out. That's episode 113. He's got another new show out about the Barkley Marathons, which I'm interested in listening to, because I think he interviewed some folks that are going to be doing a documentary of that race in Tennessee, which is I think only 10 people have finished in something like 25 years. It's a 100-miler through the mountains. I think it's more orienteering, I think, than hiking than running. I don't know. I don't know that much about it. So I'll be looking forward to seeing the documentary. But anyway, lots of thanks to Dirt Dog for the interview and for allowing me to promote the podcast in another venue. Appreciate that. Back on March 31st, I participated in the Monument Avenue 10K as a water stop volunteer. Depending on what website you go to, the Monument Avenue 10K that's held in the city of Richmond is either the ninth biggest race in the country overall, the third biggest 10K. I don't know. It had over 40,000 participants, so that puts it right up there, top 10, no doubt, in any venue. And I worked the water stop around it was right before the turnaround, so I think it was around the 3-mile mark. And I worked that with my daughter. We just had an absolute great time. It was just really fun. Tons and tons of people. It's funny how you 40,000 people, 40,000 plus people is really a lot of people. When you're in a stadium, say you go to an outdoor stadium and you know that's, you know, you might say it holds 60,000. Imagine all those people coming down the street past your house, past where you're standing. It's just an amazing amount of people. I saw so many people that I knew. We had so much fun. It rained just a little bit, got really wet with water. Actually, we were handing out Powerade, as a matter of fact. We weren't handing out water. But imagine a median street, and we're standing in the median, and we had 14 tables along the median. On the other side of the street, there were 14 tables. And all of those tables have water and Powerade on them. I mean, it's a huge, huge undertaking. We made three tiers of cups on our tables to get started, to get ready. And it was just a real fun experience. I think I would rather do that than run the 10K. The 10K in Richmond, the Monument Avenue 10K, I've done that, I think, twice. And it's actually, that's the only time I've ever broke 50 minutes in the 10K distance. So that's my personal best course. It's kind of turned into more of an event. That's what I thought. But this year, out of the 40,000 plus people, there was only about 150 people that wore costumes. So I think now it's probably a little bit better now. I was starting to think that it was just kind of turning into more of a parade of costumes and craziness. But there were some serious runners out there. We got to see the leaders and the winners. And they have this thing called Dash for the Cash where they pick somebody at random and give them this huge head start. And if they finish before the elite runners do, they get, I think, $2,500. And then if one of the elite runners catch the person who gets picked, then they get a bonus of $2,500. And it's called Dash for the Cash. It's a pretty good idea. Very clever. But this year, the lady that was picked, she won it, so she got the $2,500. Of course, she doesn't get, you know, the 10K distance workout. So it makes me wonder if she allowed to wear the shirt if she didn't run the whole distance. So that was a lot of fun. That was last week, March 31st. Just had a great time, and I really do anticipate probably doing the water stop again next year. Now that my name is in the hopper with this particular water stop, I'm sure I'll be called upon again. To help out. Had a lot of fun. It was, I think next year I'll make sure that I bring a little food for a little snack. Let's see. The other big news that I wanted to pass on is that two of my ultra running buddies here in town ran their 100K. They ran the Palm 100, which is a 100K race down in Florida. That was back on March 24th. And both finished, but they had a hell of a time. Tom finished in 15 hours, 50 minutes, which was good for 38th place out of 46. There were tons of people that didn't finish. And then Rodney, okay, he finished in 17 hours, 17 minutes, which was good for 46th out of 46, which that's called a DFL. You might be able to figure that one out on your own if you never heard that before, but let's just say it's the D stands for dead, the L stands for last, and the F stands for whatever word you want to throw in there. So anyway, that's what happened to Roddy. They had some major issues with the heat, and I kept telling them, you know, hey, you should have run at night like I did. You know, I ran, you know, in moonlight when it wasn't hot. But anyway, they both finished. They're both 100K finishers. We all went out, our crew. And with Ashley and Bob, we all went out to talk about different experiences, and I gave out my crew gifts and got to hear all about it. And they just sounds like they had a hell of a time. Really proud of them, though, for finishing. Tom is actually turning around and running the Bull Run Run 50-mile trail race on April 14th. And Rodney, believe it or not, is on the waiting list for that. So he's hoping to get in. So a second ago, I was just making fun of these guys for down there having trouble in the heat. Well, look at them. They're already running another 50-miler or planning to, and I did a 5K. So I take more time to recover than they do. Believe it or not, they actually went or had plans to go to Disney World after doing the 100K, but their families went. They didn't. They stayed in the hotels, apparently, and just recovered. So congratulations to Ashlyn, Tom, and well, I guess we can say start calling now Ashlyn, Rodney, on their 100K finishes. Even though Rodney was a DFL, he did finish. And the bottom line is finishing, not where you place, unless you're an elite runner. Of course, you know, you might be disappointed. But the bottom line is that Rodney finished. And, I mean, that's a long way, 62.1 miles. My hat's off to you guys. And you ran in the heat. Now, the thing is, Rodney ran in the wearing the Keys with me last year when we did the 50-miler option of the Keys 100. So he should have known about the heat. Plus, it was hotter in May, I think, than in March. But so Tom gets an excuse. Rodney doesn't. So we'll mess with him a little bit on the DFL. I don't think he listens to the podcast anyway because I never get any emails from him about the show. So I like to mess with him a little bit. Okay, let's move on to big news here in the Richmond area in reference to the Richmond Marathon, which is held in November of each year The finish line is going to be changed. It's now going to be finishing down by the James River. The city of Richmond has a great riverfront, kind of a riverfront district, if you will. And this is just another thing that the city and the organizers are doing to promote that area. And they're going to use there's an island down there called Brown's Island, which is in the river, which has, you know, walkways to it, which is going to be the, like, finishing area. And I think it's a great idea, and it kind of gives me a little bit of an idea that the Richmond Marathon might be something that I want to look into for the fall. It's just that daggone heat that I got to train in, but I might be able to, muster my way through it. I don't know. I'd love to try, check out the new finishing and check out the finishing in the new area for the first time, but you can also experience that as a spectator. So I don't know, the jury's out on that one. I will make a decision about the Richmond Marathon in the fall. I don't even know really what my next race is. I'm registered for nothing, although I'm definitely going to be doing the Patrick Henry Half Marathon in late August. That's always a have to. But anyway, very excited about the finish line change for the Richmond Marathon, and I'll probably talk more about that in future podcasts. I want to talk a little bit about the Ashland Railroad Run race committee that I'm co-directing before I get into the email bag section of the show. I am co-race directing that race with actually Rodney's wife, Tamara. And if you listen to this show and if you ever considered directing a race, or if you are a race director, I just want to share a little bit about how easy it is to have co-race directors handle an event. You don't carry the whole burden of the event on your own shoulders. You have somebody to kind of share your stresses with. You have somebody that can pick up the slack if you don't have time to do something. If you're working with somebody who has a different skill set like I do, Tamara's got a whole different skill set than I do, and she's very good at administrative stuff and spreadsheets and these types of things, whereas I'm more of a picking up cinder blocks from point A and bringing them to, I remember when I was in college, I had a construction job, and I remember there was one day in the summer, I actually moved cinder blocks from a pallet to another pallet, and that's what I did, and I stacked them. That's what I'm good at. I'm really good at moving cinder blocks. So those are some of the duties that I've taken on with co-directing the railroad run, which is going to be two weeks from today on April 21st here in Ashland. But it's just so easy to have somebody else to handle 50% of the duties. I have a great committee. We're working with a great group of folks who help getting door prizes, setting up food and water, arranging water stops. Obviously, we're not doing all the work. I mean, this is part of the Hanover Arts and Activities Center board. So people on the committee are on the board, and so it's people that are willing to do stuff and help out. But I just want to throw that out there. I've got a great committee, and I don't think anybody on the committee listens to the podcast, but I just wanted to compliment them, I guess, publicly. Because we've got a great group of people, and I can't wait again to put this race on. And Tamara and I have already been asked to come back and do it for 2013, which is very flattering. So we'll be back doing it again for a third year. That date is so far off. We've actually already set the date. I just can't remember what it is. So you'll hear more about that if you continue to listen to the podcast. Two more things before we get into the email bag section of the show, which is really the main content. Again, Tom's Bull Run Run 50-mile trail race is on April 14th. I'm planning to go up there and not necessarily run with him, but just kind of get around the course to support him. His family's not going to make it this year. This will be his second year doing that. And the best thing about this race is that the food at the finish line is for everybody that shows up. So that's kind of a reason why I'm going. Plus, my family's out of town, and I'm going to take the dog up there. We're just going to make a little trip, and I'm hoping to get a friend from town to go up there with me, just to kind of so it's not so lonely on the trip up, which is about a two-hour drive. Because Rodney, I think, is going to be going up Friday night for whatever reason, and I don't know. I don't know how they're. I guess they'll get back. They'll come back in Tom's car after the race. We'll figure all that out. And one other thing that I want to talk about has nothing to do with running, but some people out there who are in their maybe early 40s or late 40s might remember this movie called Red Dawn. It came on TV the other night, and I had to cut it off because I had to go up to bed. I was getting so tired and I had to get up, early the next day for work. I had to cut it off at 11. But I want to have my own copy of that movie. So I'm gonna have to figure out a way. Maybe it's on Netflix. I'm not sure. But it was just a shame that I had to cut it off because it's such a great movie. And I'm not really sure why I threw that in there, but I had it in my notes here for to mention. Okay, well, let's see. We're 15 minutes into the show, and I'm going to get into the email bag section of the show, which I think will be outstanding. Heard from a couple new listeners and with some email conversations, so I'm going to share some of that content, which I know people who listen to the show, when they hear their email, they're always that's always pretty exciting. So let's get into the email bag section of the show. All right, the first one's from Jamie, and Jamie's a cardiologist, and she actually gave me some pretty good advice. She's saying, in reference to my fueling strategy for the 100K, she's advising against using any kind of protein for fuel. She said the body can't use protein for fuel, and it takes a lot to break it down into meaningful components. She writes that your liver was trying to supply enough glycogen to your brain and muscles without being distracted by using more carbs to break down protein. She suggested considering baby boiled potatoes. It's the same consistency and easily turned into good fuel. You're putting your body under tremendous stress, and you definitely got to fuel your engine. Jamie, thanks for the advice, and I did email you back on that. I don't like cold potatoes, so I have to figure out something that will substitute for potatoes that gives me that kind of feeling that I've like I got something in my stomach. I can't just do all liquid calories. Well, you know what's funny? I've actually never even tried potatoes out there. Just the idea of cold potatoes does not appeal to me. If I had a way to heat them up, that would be perfect. I just, when I have that real hungry feeling, I need something kind of solid, not just more liquid. But I really do appreciate that. And based on your advice, I will not do that anymore. So I'm glad that you wrote in. And it's good to hear from you, as always. I really do appreciate appreciate the email. I heard from Raleigh, not sure how he pronounces it. He is running the Keys, the 50-miler of the Keys 100 this year on May 19th. He's been running marathons since 2007 and decided to enter the ultra world. He's pretty much lived down in Miami or is Miami native his whole life, so he said he shouldn't have too much trouble with the heat. However, that is going to be his first ultra. And we had a little bit of a discussion over email about what type of clothing to wear. And he was asking me about these desert shirts that people wear in intense heat. And I shared with him that I had looked into that, but it was just kind of cost prohibitive for me. And I didn't really think it was going to make that much of a difference because it really was the distance that I was going to have trouble with in the heat. I used the cool bandana from Zombie Runner, the type that you can put ice in and around your neck. That was nice because it kind of stayed cool for a while. And also just you wore solid white shirts to reflect as much heat as possible. And even though the shirts were Dry Max from the Dry Max company, I mean, they were totally white, no logos or anything. You still just totally sweat a whole lot. So I think the idea is just to wear the lightest stuff possible. But I wore a desert hat that covered that had flaps that covered my ears and my neck. And because I do get sunburned real bad on the back of my neck for some reason, but my arms not so much. So I did put some sunblock, some sunscreen on my arms, but I don't think it really stayed on because I was sweating so much. But I wish you the best, Raleigh, and keep me posted if you don't mind. I'll be, obviously, I know that race is coming up. You're the only one that I've heard from that is doing that. So we'll definitely look up your results, and I wish you all the best with that. I think you're gonna enjoy it. Bob Becker puts on an excellent event down there. We really had fun when we went down there last year. And make sure you go up and introduce yourself to him at the post-race party the next day because he's a great guy. He'll be a little goofy because he'll have been up probably for almost 48 hours by that point. But he's a very nice man and an excellent ambassador for South Florida. You know, for us that came down for Virginia, he couldn't have been a nicer guy. So all the best to you on that. Appreciate the email. I also heard from Phil, and Phil is starting his own podcast unrelated to running, and so we had a little bit of a discussion about equipment. And so what I'll do is I'm just going to share real quick what I use in case anybody who's a listener has ever considered putting together a podcast, or if just or just wondered how it's done. Normally, what I do is I record right into GarageBand on my MacBook Pro and go right into that, and then I add a music track later. For like the email bag section of the show, I use music from Derek Miller, who he says he doesn't have any copyright on his music. He just says that if you use it, give him credit. So that's why his name is always listed on the Podbean hosting site for the music. And then some of the other music I added, I downloaded a version of the Star Spangled Banner from United States Marine Corps Band, which I don't think that's copyrighted. I mean, don't we all own the Marine Corps, I guess, in a way? So that's at the end. And then sometimes I use some music. The intro music is just a garage band sound loop. So that's why music is always by Derek Miller, U.S. Marine Band, and GarageBand. So the GarageBand is it's got a podcast feature, so it's pretty easy. And then what the software will do, you can share it right into iTunes, which pops it into an MP3 file, which is what then I use file transfer protocol to upload to Podbean, which takes just a few minutes. And then I set the, you know, I link the sound file to the site through the Podbean software. Now, when I'm out in the field doing like on location recording segment of the show, I use an Olympus WS100 digital recorder, and it costs about $60 or so. I actually didn't buy it. It's one that was given to me at work, so I just use it. And the best thing about it is it's got the USB thing that pops off, and you can plug it right into the computer. Unfortunately, those files are not an MP3 in MP3 format, so I have to use a program called Switch, which pops them into MP3. So then I can just drag them from the desktop right up into the GarageBand software and put it all together there. So the production of the show actually takes several hours, and sometimes it's done over the course of 2 days, and that's why the shows are generally 2 weeks apart, except for this one, which is a month apart. But I really do like putting them together, and it's a lot of fun. So, Phil, I wish you the best with putting that together. He's a recreational marathoner, and back on March 25th, he ran his 149th marathon or ultra. He began running in 2000. He runs with lots of friends, but not too fast. But he tries to go a little faster at a few in each year. And he ran this Drilling Gym a few years ago. He had a similar experience as me, and he said he'd like to go back and do that again. So, Phil, good to hear from you. Really do appreciate the podcast. You listen to the podcast, and Phil's from Alabama. And as always, it's always good to hear from new listeners. I heard from Mike, and Mike is Dirt Dog, and just wanted to remind everybody that, okay, I think I've already mentioned that he interviewed me on his podcast, so make sure you check that out. All right, I want some film. All right, I've heard from Rich down at Virginia Beach, and he's now a marathoner. He finished his first marathon, which was Shamrock, and he really liked the two-part report, and a big congratulations on the 100K finish. Appreciate that, Rich. I've mentioned Rich before. Rich is friends with Dr. Smitty, and I met Rich when I went down to a birthday gathering down when Dr. Smitty turned 40, I guess it was last summer. Anyway, Rich writes that his marathon experience was good up until about 21 to 22 miles. He ran the half in 2 hours 7 minutes, was on pace to do about a 4:15, 4:20, which what his goal was. And then he started feeling drained at miles 19 to 20, slowed down the pace. He's still moving along on a goal pace. But he said every step along Shore Drive, which is part of the course, took him away from the finish. And he'd taken his goose on schedule. He'd taken water at every aid station. But the last Gatorade at mile 16-ish made him want to vomit. So he stopped taking Gatorade and only water from then on, which he said was a big mistake. And he started cramping around mile 22. And he described that as wake you up in the middle of the night, try not to scream and wake the wife up cramps. He said he almost stumbled, fell the first time that the cramps hit him. He stumbled, walked, ran like that for the last 4.5 miles or so. And finally came in at 4:50, making that his first official marathon finish. So well done, Rich. And let's see, he writes, after initially saying, quote, I will never do that again, here I am. Here he is a week later trying to decide how he's going to feel better for the next one. And now he knows how hard 26.2 miles can be. So he's obviously said he was very impressed that I've done 20 and with the ultras. Well, you know, Rich, I do mine slow, and I'm a recreational runner and just do it for fun, and I appreciate you saying that. But, you know, the first marathon first marathon experience is something you'll never forget, because it really is those miles past the 20-mile mark that are the hardest, and that's if you've not done those in training before. And I had the same experience you did in my first marathon. The last 6 to 7 miles was just absolutely brutal. I'm not even sure how I got to the finish line, frankly. Of course, all that tiredness is forgotten once you see the finish line and it's just up ahead of you. But, you know, man, I just wanted to keep going back and back to experience that feeling again, that euphoria of finishing a marathon. And getting a finishing medal is really cool. But I've done some ultras where they don't have finishing medals. I mean, they don't have anything at the finish line. It's just really for the accomplishment of knowing that you set out and make a plan, follow a plan, and accomplish something that, you know, nobody can take it away from you. And there's it's such a pure accomplishment, I guess is one way to describe it. So anyway, hope you continue to listen to the show. I'm sure you will. And definitely look forward to seeing you again in the future, Rich. You know, there's a couple ultras down there. Dr. Smitty can tell you about them. The Seashore Nature Trail 50K is a good race. That's something to consider if you ever thought about going past the marathon distance. And really, a 50K is just a long marathon. You know, marathons are long enough. But anyway, it's good to hear from you, Rich, as always. And thank you so much for taking the time to write that email. I really did enjoy reading it. Heard from Richard from the Woodlands, Texas. And Richard, wanted a copy of the DVD, which I sent in the mail to him. The DVD is of the Graveyard 100. It's a self-documentary souvenir DVD from the event. It's about 30 minutes long. It's pretty good. And I'm making that available for – I'm not going to put it on YouTube or anything like that, because I'm not interested in any kind of mass distribution, which I feel like YouTube is, and plus I just made it for me and my family and my crew to watch and enjoy. But I'm making it available for anyone who's interested in seeing what the Graveyard 100 was like from a video standpoint. There are some video clips on the Graveyard 100 Facebook page, but those are just numerous clips, not a full. So you can get an idea of what it's like down there at night and during the day. And I'm making that available for free. All you got to do is send me your address and I'll send you the DVD. What I do is, on the honor system, I just request that you make a donation to a group here in Ashland that my church works with. It's called Ashland Christian Emergency Services, or ACES. And it's just basically a food pantry for the less fortunate in this area. So I throw that out there again. I've only had two takers. Richard from the Woodlands, Texas is one, and then Dirt Dog is the other. And I did another one of these several years ago when I ran Sterling Gym, the 40-mile ultra, in 2009. And I think I probably mailed out probably 10 to 12 of those. And so, you know, it was a good $100 donation over to ACES, and every little bit helps, you know. So, Richard, thanks. And, Richard, you'll also be interested to know, when I went to the post office to mail off your DVD, they didn't recognize the Woodlands for some reason. I guess is the Woodlands part of another town? I'm just curious. Or maybe I'd written the zip code wrong, but hopefully you got it. I haven't heard from you yet, so I don't know if you actually ever got the DVD. So let me know if you did. And I appreciate that very much. Richard said he ran the Woodlands Marathon in 5:03. He ran with a training buddy. He said he had some training struggles this year, but they couldn't blame the weather. It was perfect, low 50s for the whole run. Just couldn't ask for better weather. And he's also running the Texas Independence Relay, which is, I guess, the last weekend in March. So that was probably the 31st. He ran the Texas Independence Relay with the same team that he's done over the years, and he says he absolutely loves that. It's something he does every year, and I think I did a podcast on something about that a couple of years ago. So, Richard, make sure you write in with your experience. I'm definitely Interesting hearing how it went. I also heard from Mandy. If you'll remember, Mandy was the person who gave me excellent information on the Keys Ultra last year. Did a two-part interview with her, and that was we put that out on the podcast. And my good friends Tom and Ronnie hooked up with her down there and met her and got a picture with her, and they said she was just nice as could be. So, Mandy, I know you. I think you periodically listen to the podcast. Yeah, my friend's finished. I just didn't realize that Rodney had a DFL in that situation, so we'll make sure we remind him of that every time we see him. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and I got several emails from him because he and I go back and forth quite a bit. He is hopefully going to be coming up for the Ashland Railroad Run. He's not sure. He will probably be up here later in the summer for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And he got the he was following my progress during the 100K and got all the updates on Twitter. We had kind of twerted out some messages just to keep the people back home updated who were interested, and apparently that worked out really good. He's going to be doing the Hogeye Marathon. Let's see, that's going to be April 15th in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That's where he went to college. He's hoping it's not going to be a real scorching hot day. So that's next weekend. Greg, I wish you all the best on that. And Rich from Virginia Beach, if you're listening to this, this is something that Greg had mentioned. Apparently, Brenda Kerwan, who was the 100-mile winner of the Graveyard 100-mile event, she is does some work behind the Final Mile Events company, and she's the race director for the Gibbet 50 and 25-miler that is held in October down in Seashore State. It used to be called Seashore State Park, then First Landing. I'm not sure. I think it's First Landing State Park. It's where the Seashore Nature Trail 50K is. But, Rich, you might consider a 25-miler. That's, you know, almost a marathon. They also have one that's called a Full Bloom 50K and then a half marathon April 21st. That's right there in Chesapeake. So if I wasn't involved in the railroad run, I might have considered doing something like that. But anyway, Dr. Smitty, the main thing in Dr. Smitty, his email, was he has a local running friend that has blister problems, presumably similar to the types that I have. And this year for the Seashore 50K, he painted the bottom of his feet. This person put three coats of spray paint on the soles of the feet before putting on his running socks and shoes, and he said he had no blistering problems at all. Yeah, Greg, I've never heard of that either. Hey, but whatever works, and apparently it's an older guy. I might have met this person at his birthday party last summer. Greg, if you don't mind, could you hook me up through email with that guy? I've got some questions for him. I don't know if he would be interested in answering any of my questions about spray painting his feet. That just seems like a very strange idea. But you know what? I'd be willing to try anything. There's an email a little bit farther down from Tom Mueller, who referenced some stuff that he uses. So I'm really willing to try anything because, you know, I was pretty physically beat up at the 100K, but, you know, mentally I was still there. So, you know, who knows how far I'll try to go someday, but I've got to take care of this foot problem, do something about it. So thanks again for the email, Greg. Always good to hear from you, and all the best. I heard from Neil Johnson from the UK, and I am waiting, eagerly awaiting to hear from him. He swept the trail at the Oak Mountain 50K last weekend, and I'm really interested to hear how that went. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to set up an interview over Skype, and hopefully he has some good stories. I'm sure he does. Neil, looking forward to hear from you. In fact, I'm going to email you back right now, and while I'm thinking about it, and see if we can hook up. All right, sent that off now. Neil sent me a lengthy email the first time I got an email from him back in July, and he likes listening to the podcast, and I guess what I'm stroking my own ego here. He says that the reason he likes the podcast is because it's kind of they appreciate some of the advice and the stuff that I pass on that I've experienced that you might not get in other podcasts. In some of the, like, the nitty-gritty story, the sub-hour, you know, stories of the sub-5-hour marathoners, you know, you know, my only goal in life is to beat Oprah Winfrey's my only goal in life is to beat Oprah Winfrey's marathon time. I mean, stuff like that. he kind of mentioned in his email, and so yeah, I appreciate that, Neil, very much. And we'll let's plan to do that interview. I'm curious to know how the Oak Mountain 50K went. Because he couldn't get in that race. He was put on the waiting list, and then the because he registered too late, and then the race director offered the sweeping of the course to him. So of course, you know, it's going to take him longer to cover it. But you never know what you see along the trail when you're sweeping the end of an ultra. That's for sure. Heard from Tom, and Tom's the one that forgot to meet down at the Charlotte Ultra, and he advised to be careful with the duct tape. He said he did it once. He wrapped his feet in that stuff in a 100-miler in the 90s. He didn't know any better. His feet swelled, and he damaged, and they couldn't expand. He said his feet go south after 50 miles or so. But he uses some stuff called, Tom Sport Shield Liquid. And he said the idea is to put a coat of slippery resin on that stays on. And he advises against Vaseline because the sweat makes it dissipate, and then it's worse. And, you know, that might have happened to me, Tom. I was surprised how much my feet sweat, even in 40 degrees, but they do. And Tom's one to listen to. He's got 800-mile finishes. He said most of it's in your head. And Tom and I have had a very candid conversation back and forth about the selfishness of ultra running, and it's actually made me think about some things that I haven't thought about before. So it's always good to converse with somebody who just kind of talk straight, and Tom definitely does that, and I've appreciated that. So, Tom, hope things are well down in North Carolina, and I will run into you again sometime. I'm going to keep your email because I want to make sure that I look up that stuff at Amazon, so I appreciate that. Let's see. Heard from Chris, and Chris is the one that I interviewed a little while back when he did the 100K. Oh, he did it down in Florida. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, he said he really did like the podcast, and he'd listened to both episodes of the Race Report. And he said that two things about the podcast that he wanted to mention. First was that he wanted to see if I definitely noticed about that mental hurdle of just getting to the halfway mark. He said, "Isn't it amazing how much pressure you feel before you make it to that halfway point?" 31.1 miles seemed to take an eternity, and then he said he chuckled when he heard me say essentially the same thing on the podcast. And then second, he was listening to part two when he was on the tail end of an 8-mile training run, and he said he nearly ran off the road when I mentioned about that dude getting punched in the face by Tom. He said he had to stop and take a walk break about hearing that because he was laughing so hard because he couldn't get a breath. And so that is really funny to hear that, Chris, because it really makes me laugh to think that there are people out there listening to the podcast, unbeknownst to me, at whatever point in time that they decide to listen, and then they find something that I say so funny. It's so refreshing to hear that. And then the first part of what you said, yeah, I remember that like that was yesterday. It just seemed like, God, I'm not even at the halfway mark yet. That just seemed so intimidating, and that mental hurdle, like you wrote in your email, about not even being at the halfway mark yet, and being tired. Yeah, that was huge. And thanks again for all the advice that you gave with me getting into that, for me to get to the starting line. I really do appreciate a lot of the advice that you gave. Let's see, I already read the one from Tom, and let's see, Dr. Smitty also did the 8K the day before his half marathon. And we got one more. This one's from my buddy Tom here, lives here in town. We call him Ashland Tom. I had asked Tom that I told Tom I was trying to assess whether I should do another 100K, and I wanted to hear any comments that he or observations that he had made there at the end when he was with me for the last 20 miles or so, because my feet had hurt so bad. I don't really remember anything that I said, and I wanted him to take a few minutes to write out any of his observations, anything that he was getting concerned about. And what he did was, he said he looked at my training schedule that I followed, and he thought I was a bit light on the long runs. He said most marathon training schedules call for you to a 20 miler. That's 20 of 26, 77% of the race distance. He said, using the same formula, 77% of 62 miles is 47. He said, not that you have to go that far with back-to-back long runs, but he thought a 40-miler might be a good training distance. And he said you're asking a lot of your body to go double your longest training run distance. And I do agree with that. The only problem I would have is the recovery from the 40-miler. I had a hard enough time recovering from the 50K, although I did run, you know, pick up the training schedule right after that. So, you know, Tom, that might be something to think about, because I was with the high mileage I was doing, I think I was in the best shape I've ever been in to get to the starting line if that race was only 50 miles. I don't remember what my 50-mile split would have been. I think it was consistent with my two previous. But I think if I'm going to do another 50-miler, which I'm interested in doing at some point in time, I will probably follow that same schedule. And Tom also wrote that he thought the race was maybe mentally harder because it was at night with little to no change in scenery and there was not much to take your mind off anything other than running and how much farther you have to go. And I agree with that also. We did run through some villages. Of course, it was dark at night. And the only stuff to see was really everything was dark and closed. That was a real challenge for me, and I did like that. But knowing I was running along the ocean was cool, and knowing that I had the sunrise to look forward to because it really was going to be working out where I was going to be literally finishing as the sun came up, not you know hours after it came up, but as it came up, and that's exactly what happened, and it was just really what a memory. But yeah, Tom was right there along the way, and I thought I was strong mentally, and then like I was saying out there that when I was with him, I said my mind wants to run, but the body won't let it. And he says these ultras get a little bit easier each time. And he said 5 years ago, would you ever think we'd call a marathon a training run? And yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. I never thought that would happen. And the only reason I went to the ultra at some point is just to make it do something interesting. And I do like the nature of the smaller events. This one definitely was. I mean, there's only 14 people finished the 100K. And anyway, what a great experience. And I appreciate you being there along the way, Tom. Really do. Well, that is it for the email bag section of the show. And looks like the show is going to be run just perfectly in time. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show and listening. If you stuck around this long, I really do enjoy putting the podcast together. And sometimes I've found that I probably talk about ultra marathoning too much. I do like half marathons and marathons. I just like distance running, so, and I like talking about it, and I like hearing from people who do it and do different things, and I'm kind of an average Joe, so, I'm in awe of the elites and the stuff that they accomplish, but at the same time, I'm always impressed about regular people doing extraordinary things, because I can kind of relate to them a little bit better. So, anyway, we have Tom's Bull Run to look forward to this coming weekend, and probably do a bit of a podcast on including some observations from that in the next show. And I don't know what the next show's topic's going to be, but if you want to email me, that's ashlanddave@gmail.com. Easy to remember. Don't forget about the DVD. Like I said, I send everything out on my dime. I just ask for the honor system. I'll send you the address, and you send yourself. $10 is recommended. I mean, I'm obviously not going to know what you send, or if you do at all. I mean, that's on you. Just like, you know, it's on you when you're running a race. Are you going to cheat or not? And in your training, are you going to do the mileage? Most distance runners are honest people. They're not thieves because they know that the only way to get to the finish line is to do the work. So that's why I don't have you mail me the money and then I send it. I just say send it directly to that place. I'll send you the address and you do that yourself. So if you're interested in the DVD, which is pretty cool, because if you don't know what I look like, you can get the DVD. You can see what I look like, see what my friends look like. If nothing else, that should be entertaining. And email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send that out to you, like I said, on my dime, no problem. And again, if you have a comment about the show, positive comments are the ones that are accepted. The negative comments are the ones that are deleted. Feel free to send that at ashlanddave@gmail.com. So this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.
The 2012 Ashland Railroad Run. from Race the Rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 21st for the 34th annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the Jackson through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. The certified 10K race is a favorite spring ritual among runners from around the Commonwealth and beyond. It's great for setting a PR. There's also a 5K fun run and a 1 mile kids race. The kids race has cool prizes. Join hundreds of your friends and come to the center of the universe on April 21st and race the rail. If you're lucky, you might be able to run alongside a huge moving train. For more information, go to hannaforarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. You can also go to raceit.com and type railroad in the search box. I was a 5K marshal last year, and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.